The interaction between the hedge funds and the banks they borrow from could also be electric. Because they borrow so much money to pursue their strategies, the hedge funds have been among the best customers of the big banks. The banks have indulged them, just as several indulged Enron to the point of being almost co-conspirators. The housing and mortgage markets, especially after 2001, had blended into the larger financialization of America in multiple and unnerving ways. Simply put, for many people, homes had become vehicles of household financing. My home is my castle, giving way to my home is my ATM machine. As such, and with the collusion of the Federal Reserve Board, homes became financial assets in everything but statistical classification. Beyond that, they became tools of speculative finance in that persons mortgaging or refinancing had to choose from a dizzying array of options, many of which held out, in credit card fashion, unusual attractiveness in the first months or years. In June 2005, Chairman Greenspan deplored some of the most egregious, allowing that the dramatic increase in the prevalence of interest-only loans, as well as the introduction of other relatively exotic forms of adjustable-rate mortgages, are developments of particular concern. In fact, reported the Washington Post, there were some 200 different kinds of mortgage products on the market, differentiated by interest rate schedules, down payment requirements, payback terms, fees, and potential penalties. Douglas Duncan, the chief economist of the Mortgage Bankers Association, told the newspaper that the exotic loan referred to by Greenspan was probably the option adjustable rate mortgage, which permits borrowers to decide themselves how much to pay, how long the loan term should be, and when they can convert from a fixed rate to a variable rate or back again. Even credit cards were tied into the speculative side of finances. For several years, issuers had been merchandising credit cards tied to home equity lines of credit. This took place at the same time as home purchases and mortgages themselves were taking on speculative characteristics. Worriers over the possibility that the United States had exchanged a stock market bubble for an even larger credit bubble even had their own websites where the latest developments and nuances could be monitored with professional aplomb or trepidation. History, to be sure, backed the case for trepidation. While these examples peel back only the first layers of the speculative onion, as opposed to showing a full cross-section, they do capture its rank flavor. Between 2000 and the market bottom in 2002, when U.S. stocks lost $7 trillion of their $15.5 trillion value, home values held up and then spurted ahead. To critics, the rescue was essentially a rebubbling. Should a credit and financial collapse follow that second stage in the manner that Volcker and others feared, stock and home prices would presumably sink together, making that second downturn the more destructive of the two. In which case, imploding consumer debt and the harsh provisions of the new federal bankruptcy code could interact to yoke middle-class debtors in the quasi-indentured status Democrats predicted.